Welcome, everyone, to Friends Church. We're happy you're here. Tonight, Christmas Eve, this is our special Christmas service, and we're excited that you're all here. It's really our opportunity to celebrate the entrance of a baby into a world. Happened a long time ago, but somehow his entrance and what he came to be and all that he came to stand for has marked many of our lives. And so tonight is a celebration of all of that. And so we're glad you're here. If you got dragged here by your girlfriend or your neighbor or a friend, we promise this will be as painless as possible, okay? Maybe there's some here that haven't been in church in a long time. Your heart's a little racing. You're going, oh, what are they going to do to us? You know, what are they going to make us do? We're not going to make you do anything. We just want you to come and celebrate, sit back and relax, let the pulse just drop. We have beverages at the back, some wine and some Baileys. We got non-alcoholic beverages, and some people need a little liquid courage to walk into a church service on Christmas Eve, and we understand that. But I just want to explain something. We do this intentionally. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't just trying to draw a crowd. We try to explain to our community again and again that our everyday lives shouldn't be that much different from what we do here on a Sunday in church. We believe there shouldn't be this big gap. We don't put on the dog for church. We don't have to get all dressed up over here and then we walk out and live somehow differently over there. We believe that how we live out there should be pretty much how we live in here. No hypocrisy, no faking, no pretending, no fake smiles. No, just come in. And we are what we are, and we're going to talk about life here. We think God values how we live there. And if you were having a glass of wine before you came here, a Jack and Coke before you came, it shouldn't be offside here. That's what we figure. Anyways, glad you're here this evening. Tonight we're going to play some songs. Hopefully, if you recognize them, you can sing right along with us. If not, you can hum along the tunes. We're going to tell the Christmas story and show you how beyond this neat, traditional holiday thing that Christmas is for so many, how this story, this Christmas story, can actually matter to you and I today. So sit back and relax. And enjoy yourself tonight as we celebrate this man named and this baby named Jesus. In the Christian tradition, Christmas is an important event, and it marks the beginnings, really, of Christianity, specifically the entrance of this very special baby into our world. His name was Jesus, and he was special because he carried with him a message in a way of life that would prove to be so countercultural in his day, and it continues to be today. A way of life that would give and serve rather than power up. A way of life that seemed to care for those that were weaker, those that were excluded, those people that were on the margins. He was always reaching out and loving and helping others do it. And he started something. We believe he started a revolution. And it continues to this day, and we consider ourselves a part of that revolution. And so this time at Christmas, we get to tell this story, not just because it was something neat that happened back then, but actually it's something that gets carried on to this moment in time today. We keep living out who this guy was. So whether we tell the story in kind of a high-tech way like that, or we tell it in a more formal way, we always use it as a reminder as to why we live the way we live, to live like Christ in our world. So let me start off the story in maybe more of a formal way, can I? We read out of Luke chapter 2. Maybe this will be more familiar to you. It goes like this. At about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. So he went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel.
There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set up night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." And at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheepherders talked it over. "Well, let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left quickly, and there they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about the child, and all who heard the sheep herders were impressed.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, which is Judah territory, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. This was during Herod's kingship. The scholars asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We are on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not just Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem was terrified as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religious scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem. In Judah territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. For you will come, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly where the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I will join you at once in worship." After being instructed by the king, the scholars set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place where the child was. The scholars could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had come at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and they worshipped him. They opened their luggage and presented him with gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a dream, the scholars were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country.
There's a story in the Bible about the Jewish nation, who really is our religious ancestors. And it happened about 2,500 years ago. And at the time, the Jewish nation was taken over by Babylon. And it was bad, like really bad. People were torn away from their homes. Families were taken apart. A lot of the stories of Daniel and the lion's den are set in this time when the people of the nation of Israel were just beat up, for lack of a better word. In kind of technical language, this is called the diaspora. It's the time when everyone got kicked out of their homes and had to go someplace else. And after years of being mistreated, held subservient, beaten down, somebody showed up in history and changed all that. He showed up and he basically said to all the people in Judah, said, "No, go back home." In fact, the temple that was destroyed, where God is, the reason you feel disconnected from God, let me fix that for you. I'll pay to have it rebuilt. Think about it. Your whole life you spent away from the home, away from the place that God promised you. And now someone says to you, go back home. The prophet Isaiah calls him Mashiach, which basically means anointed one, savior. Because this guy came in and saved the entire nation of Israel. It's a turning point in the history of those people. That person, the person who the Bible calls Mashiach, it's king of Persia, King Cyrus. And that word that we call him, Mashiach, that's the right word. If you translate it into Greek, it's Christos. If you translate it into English, it's Christ. You see, this is the time when we tell the story about Jesus, the Christ. But we often kind of get that word mixed up. It's kind of like Jesus' last name, Mr. Christ. How are you? That's actually not what the word means. It's the word means savior, people who save. And as you can see from thousands of years earlier, it's the name that was given the king who saved the nation of Israel. And that word Christ is still in play today, I think. Because it means one who saves. King Cyrus of Persia saved. I think Jesus saves. But I think that's something that we can be a part of as well. So this Christmas, I want you to think about it less as something that you experience, you look at, it's Christmas, it's something you see, you know, the Christmas carols, all this stuff. And more along these lines of Christ, the Savior. Because each time you reach out and help someone, you're Mashiach, Christ. Each time you help your neighbor, shovel a sidewalk, you know, give somebody a hug, call a friend who needs something, go visit someone in the hospital, that's Christ. You are Christ. When you donate to a good cause, which a lot of us have done, the 12 baskets that we created for families who basically couldn't celebrate Christmas this year, all of you who came out here and packed gifts and bought stuff and wrapped them, you're being Christ. And I think when we look at Christmas through that lens, it's not something we see, it's not something we look at, it's something that we are. So today I want to inspire you with the music that we sang, the stuff Jeff's talked about. See yourself as Christ in your world. Because you can save people in little moments. Put a smile on their face. Help them out. Be friendly to that family member who drives you nuts at the family gathering tonight. You can be Christ. So today, in the Christmas season, let me say Merry Christmas. Not in blessing the season, but Merry Christmas is in you can be Christ in your world. So our wish for you guys this week and this year, be Christ. Make your world better. Merry Christmas, everyone.
You know, in a day and age when church for many has become synonymous with hypocrisy and judgment, cliques, people in the in and people in the outs, just want to say how proud I am to be a part of a community that really sees this not as a place you go to on Sunday, but a way of life. Where you look beyond the person and the where they are in life, and we just love and give and serve. This community has embraced being the hands and feet of God in this world. Saviors. Modern day saviors to their little parts of the world. This is a beautiful aroma that we believe is always meant to be Christianity. To love and give. So when we celebrate Christmas, this story is a reminder of all that Jesus was, not just from the manger, but right through to the point when he left. He was saying, this is not about you, this is about them. This is not about me getting my way up to the top, this is about me laying down my life for my neighbor, my friend, and my spouse, and my son, and my daughter, my neighbor. This is what this whole thing is about. So Christmas is a time, yes, of celebrating this beautiful arrival of this baby. But it is so much more. It is celebrating a way of life that can make sense of your world right where you are. I invite you this Christmas to be a part of the Christmas story. To be a part of the saving act that Jesus started. That rights wrongs in relationships. That heals broken, beaten up family situations. Gives hope to people who are lonely. Who are walking through difficult time. The way of Jesus says, let's bring light where it's dark in people's lives. It's coming up the end of this season, end of the year. And it's at this time as a pastoral team, we think back over the events of this past year. And I got to tell you, our hearts are full. Because it's been a year full of watching individuals from all over the place. Not just this community, but your friends and neighbors, people that have jumped on with us. Making a difference, casting a light, showing the love of God to our world around us. We celebrate with you because you get this message that we've talked about tonight. Perhaps there's someone here tonight and you're going, wow, this is just a little different than the Christmas story I heard about. I want to invite you to consider being a part of this Christmas story too. That's a beautiful thing. There's no one person in this room that's disqualified from being a part of the Christmas story. About saving. About bringing life to your world. Not one of us is disqualified. So tonight, I tell you, it's just good news all over the place. We've got an opportunity starting, like, as soon as I say go, we get to leave this place and we get to go back to family, maybe friends, maybe you're going out with some neighbors, some work associates. We get to spread light. We get to be a good news to someone. We get to lock eyes with them and really listen. Maybe we're just going to hold our tongue from saying the thing that we're thinking. Maybe we're going to, rather than expecting other people to do certain things, we're going to be the first one up. And we're going to show them that, man, I tell you, it's not just about us. Can we do this? Can we live this out? Can we make Christmas about more than just presents under a tree? But about a way that would change our world. I invite you to be a part of this. You know, if you're new here tonight, and this is your first time around, don't be a stranger. Come back. I mean, we're actually quite friendly people. And we're not as weird as maybe you thought we were when you walked in. We're really happy you're here tonight. The music, they're going to play another song, and we're just going to invite you. But I'd just like to pray and send you on your way. God, I'm thankful that the story hasn't ended. It didn't end 2,000 years ago, but it continues on. It perpetuates through all of us. It has a way. It has an opportunity. And God, I pray that we would jump on that opportunity to make a difference in our world, to be Christ to our world. Pray that for every person here. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hey, that wraps up our evening tonight. Really happy you joined us. Hope you were inspired and you're able to celebrate. It's not over. The party's still going. There's beverages at the back. Maybe you could help me in thanking our musicians who gave it their best to pull this all together. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, thank you, guys. Awesome. Awesome. Have a great Christmas, everyone. We'll see you back here next Sunday. If you haven't been back, come and join us, all right? Have a great one.